Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. In a State of the University address yesterday, University of Alaska President Jim Johnson stressed the need for an increase in state funding after 4 years of cuts. KTOO reports that in the annual address this year delivered at the University of Alaska Anchorage, Johnson described the challenges the university has faced since the state's economic downturn began.
These cuts hurt badly, but the greater impact than to us here at the university is the impact to the state and to our reduced capacity to serve our large unmet needs for higher education.
The university's annual budget has declined by more than $60 million since 2014. The UA Board of Regents requested an increase from the state for the next fiscal year, but Governor Bill Walker's proposed budget flat funds the university at $317 million. Johnson said meetings with state legislators this session have left him hopeful that lawmakers want to invest in Alaska's public university. He said the university has worked hard to find ways to save money by consolidating programs, cutting travel and administrative costs, and freezing wages. He also encouraged anyone concerned about university funding to do what they can to help.
In whatever way you can. By getting in touch with your legislators, we're deep in the budget process right now. And letting them know how critical it is for you as a student, how critical it is for you as business leaders, how critical it is for you as leaders of foundations, as leaders of our state, as educators, that we support this great university.
After his speech, Johnson said he feels the legislature recognizes that the university is a sound investment.
We didn't just sit back or crawl under the table and wait for oil prices to come back. We went forward and came up with very strong, proactive plans. And I think that legislators see, wow, okay, those guys are moving forward. They want to lead. They seem to be a good investment in our people and in our future.
State budget negotiations are ongoing in Juneau. Legislative subcommittees for both the House and the Senate are considering the university budget this week. The University of Alaska Fairbanks held a training yesterday for students, professors, and staff on how to respond in a mass shooting event. UAF Instructor of Homeland Security and Emergency Management Sean McGee emphasizes that the first step in readiness is acknowledging that a mass shooting can happen here.
Playing that little internal game about, you know, if it happens, what will I do? If we can do that, then we start winning the battle.
McGee says being confronted with violence involves potentially overwhelming stress, and you have to have a basic plan to increase survival odds.
If I can keep something simple like run, hide, fight, there's a good chance that you'll remember that when everything else is kind of shut down in your brain.
The other presenter at yesterday's training, UAF Police Chief Steve Goetz, underscores that actual shootings are very different than the on-screen violence most people are accustomed to.
A real person losing their life as opposed to a movie, right? And it feels a lot different, it looks a lot different. You know, you have to overcome it somehow.
More regular, as horrible as that sounds, regular exposure to that in a training environment is the best way I can help you kind of act more appropriately as opposed to inappropriately and just freezing in place.
Goetz and McGee talk through basic response steps from calling 911 to finding escape routes and hiding places, barricading doors, and fighting back. Goetz told the audience anything goes when it comes to surviving, and you have to work as a team to take down an attacker.
You know, there's two big burly dudes right there. They're going to help me take this guy down physically, right? Meanwhile, you six or seven people over there, I want you to grab anything heavy and hard, maybe one of those metal water bottles or whatever it is, and as soon as that guy comes through the door, your job is to throw all this stuff at him.
Yesterday's training was timely in light of last week's Florida school shooting, but Goetz says it was not held in reaction to it, but part of a regular series of active killing event trainings. He says UAF has also established a behavioral intervention team that uses public tips to identify individuals who could turn violent.
If you don't feel comfortable directly addressing a person, refer it to us, because one of us are going to contact him or use a surrogate to contact him to see how he's really doing or she's really doing, depending on what the situation is.
Goetz says the behavioral intervention team meets weekly to discuss people who might be at risk of hurting others or themselves. Golden Valley Electric Association expressed interest late last year in buying Anchorage's Municipal Light and Power, But MLNP instead accepted an offer from Chugach Electric. As KiwiC's Tim Ellis reports, Golden Valley's interest is more about keeping the cost of power it buys from MLNP down.
Golden Valley President and CEO Corey Borgeson says two letters of interest he sent to Municipal Light and Power's general manager late last year were meant not so much as hard and fast purchase offers as they were requests for a seat at the table where the sale was being negotiated.
Might lead to other aspects of the sale that we would be interested in.
Borgeson said in an interview last week that the management team's main concern was that the buyer of MLNP would raise the price of natural gas generated electricity that it sells to Golden Valley.
Protect the opportunity to buy economy energy from the Anchorage utilities and not somehow have the price affected as a result of the sale.
Borgeson says Golden Valley gets about 20% of its electricity from MLNP, which he says is cheaper than any other type of fuel except coal. He says Golden Valley officials are now talking about the price of that power and other concerns with Chugach Electric, which is offered to buy MLNP for about $1 billion.
Questions regarding transmission issues and the Bradley Lake interests.
Borgeson says Golden Valley also wants to buy some of MLNP's assets, including some or all of its 25% ownership share of the Bradley Lake Hydro Project. Golden Valley now owns 17% of that facility, located on the Kenai Peninsula. Chugach Electric spokeswoman Julie Haskett says the utility is aware of Golden Valley's interest in the MLNP sale, but she says concerns over the fiscal impact of the deal is premature because it faces several political and regulatory hurdles.
I think people are getting a little bit ahead of themselves here. We still have to get through an affirmative vote with the voters of Anchorage in April. If that happens, we would work out a final deal with the municipality of Anchorage, and any final terms would have to go back to the Chugach Board of Directors, the Anchorage Assembly, and ultimately the Regulatory Commission of Alaska.
Consumer and renewable energy advocate Chris Rose says the purchase of MLNP isn't likely to boost the price of its gas-generated electricity because that's spelled out in the contract. But he says the price could rise when the contract comes up for renewal or if demand increases or the supply decreases.
There's no guarantee for anybody who's buying electricity on bilateral contracts like Golden Valley that the price isn't going to change.
Rose is executive director of Anchorage-based Renewable Energy Alaska Project, and he says other factors are more likely to push up the cost of electricity for Golden Valley's ratepayers.
I think a greater concern is just whether or not natural gas prices are going to go up, whether or not the transmission tariffs for moving electricity along the rail belt are going to go up. I think a bigger concern for the entire region is whether or not we have the most efficient generators running at any given moment.
Rose says those issues and others mainly result from six separate utilities stretched over a vast and rugged territory serving a relatively small customer base. He says the costly inefficiency of having two utilities competing for Anchorage's customers is what finally drove MLNP to seek a buyer. He says further consolidation among the utilities is needed, as well as greater coordination in planning and pooling resources. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
Keegan Randall of Anchorage and Minnesota's Jesse Diggins teamed up for first-ever U.S. gold medals in cross-country skiing at the Olympics. The U.S. pair bested Scandinavian powerhouse teams from Sweden and Norway to capture the team sprint gold in Pyeongchang, South Korea, earlier today. The event, contested in the skate technique, involves team members taking turns racing around a 1.25-kilometer loop. The three teams were neck and neck as Randall handed off to Diggins for the final lap, with Diggins outlunging Sweden's Stina Nielsen at the line to claim victory. The only other U.S. medal in cross-country skiing was back in 1976 when Bill Koch won the silver in the men's 30-kilometer race. Today's medals hold special significance for the 35-year-old Randall, who is racing in her fifth and final Olympics. I'm Dan Bross.